The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
10 o'clock every Monday through Friday morning, we do a show called Mission Minded. I'm so blessed to be on with my good friend Michael Coleman. You know him, of course, formerly the Jimmy Hill Mission, now he is the CEO of the Montgomery Food Bank. They cover 35 counties in the great state of Alabama. Super busy guy. He's been down there for several months. So, Michael, good morning, and how are you doing today? Everything good?
Yeah, I'm doing great, and as always, excited to just come have a great conversation with you.
Yeah, and of course, we're recording the show on Labor Day, and it'll run every single day this week. And, of course, if you miss any of the shows, we've done 50 of them, 60 of them, go to the Tony Curry Radio podcast, wherever you get your favorite podcast. We're on every major podcast industry, and just pull up Mission Minded. The show's called Mission Minded with Michael Coleman, where you keep your mind, your mission, your mind, and you can listen to all of our previous shows, and there's great shows. There are descriptions underneath each one, so you know what you're listening for. And today, I kind of want to get into our workforce, since we are talking about Labor Day and most people not working today. Lots changed in our workforce. You know, you and I were talking about quiet quitting, quiet firing a couple of weeks ago. Employees obviously are kind of holding the upper hand right now. They have more leverage because there's so many more jobs into the job market. Analysis just came out, I think, earlier today, and they're not hiring as quickly as they were, which is probably a good thing for inflationary measures. Don't want to get into the politics or specifics of what's going on with all the business, but I do want to ask you, because you've been a business guy for a long period of time, and in most cases, you are the CEO or the boss of those businesses you've run, and so you've dealt with a lot of employees. We even asked you last week some of your favorite interview questions when you're interviewing people, and how do you deal with people when you first get into a brand new organization. But we've got 4-day work weeks. We got quiet to firing, quiet to quitting. We have perhaps the UPS situation. It looks like perhaps they're going to go on strike just before the holidays, which would be the biggest strike, the union trade strike, in the history of this company. There's a lot of weird, strange things going on in employment, hasn't there?
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, some industries are facing these tremendous shortages. And so the employees seem to have the upper hand, and CEOs are still like insistent now of, hey, we're going to bring everybody back to the office. And they are certain within their rights to do that. But you're seeing some pushback from employees. But with the technology that's out there, it's just all over the place, and it doesn't seem that any one side has the continued power. You know, it just seems to be a struggle depending on which industry you're talking about. But we've been looking for new employees as well, and I will tell you, it's just a challenge all the way around, not to necessarily find good employees, but just a little bit about what I've gone through is when I find – that I feel like I've got a good employee. Now, I'm not talking about that somebody just has the ability. I'm talking about somebody that's going to fit culturally, somebody that's going to, you know, have all the things you want, a great work ethic, smart, understands, can problem solve. But especially in the nonprofit world, especially in our fields, really, the truth is I care a lot less about academia. What I need is somebody with the right heart before everything else, because they have to have a servant's heart. They have to care about our clients. They have to be willing to go the extra mile, not because somebody's forcing them to, but because there's this inward motivation to offer those that we serve the best that we absolutely can. And so, you know, I can get somebody who's the best at what they do, but they still might not be a cultural fit because they're driven by, it may be income, it may be driven by certain circumstances. I need people who are driven towards caring and moving towards what's in the best interest of our clients.
This is real interesting, and let me just stop you there, because and I you either hire on hearts or smarts. And I thought of that as soon as you said the heart, right? Because right. because now in the employment situation we're in right now, you used to have some college or at least 4 years of college in order to be whoever you were, an administrator, or you're going to be an IBM or whatever you're going to be, you needed to have those parameters in order to even get an interview. And now people are saying, listen, you don't need to have that. Maybe you don't need to have a CDL to drive a truck. I don't know. But in your particular case, when you're just talking about an emotionalist thing like a heart, like you have to have the heart to do non-for-profit work, particularly with the Montgomery Food Bank, what's harder to find, smarts or hearts?
Well, so it's not your lead thing is not, when I say smart, I'm talking about certain degrees. You want people who are educated, who speak in an educated way, but you have that all the time with people who never went to college.
Yeah.
And I had this one lady who called me and she said, I've managed this business, but she drives a school bus. Because it offers benefits. And I know lots of people who are working part-time, but they need benefits. And so they'll go drive a school bus because the school system, you know, gives them such good benefits. Mm-hmm. And talk with her. And I just ask her, do you have any formal education? And this was kind of a pre-interview where she was just calling me to find out a little bit more about the job. But she spoke very well, and she said, no, I always meant to, but, you know, I had kids, started having kids and family, and then I'm working, and, you know, she's working two jobs. But I listened to her. First of all, she's driven a bus for 14 years Wow. for kids. And, I mean, I can't imagine anything that I would want to do less than drive a school bus every day with a bunch of screaming kids, because I was that screaming kid on the school bus. So I know the hell we put our bus driver through.
Yeah.
But what I was looking for was her interaction, the way she described people, and she had a very pleasant demeanor. And so there was just a number of positions that we're looking for. In reality, it gives me more flexibility because I'm like, you give me somebody with a heart, I can teach them what we do. A lot of people that have come in for jobs, we've had multiple department heads talking to them because, you know, it's not something specific that they have to do. In other words, they're like me. They're looking for the right person, the right fit, the right person who's going to blend into our culture. And then with the idea of, we don't expect anybody to have this background, we're going to teach them how to be successful and coach them through that. And so that's kind of our approach. But there are certain things that maybe you can't take that approach because you've got to have somebody there and they have to have a certain amount of technical expertise depending on which field you're in. And so again, now you're kind of taking the best of what's there. And that can be a real challenge.
So you're trying to find, it's interesting because there are less people out there for positions to be filled. And so it's going to be harder to find that perfect person. But when you talk about bringing a person that perhaps doesn't know maybe a particular type of computer program, you're a master teacher. So you can teach people not only the computer part, if you can, or you have resources in order to do that. But I mean, it's impossible to teach someone. It's interesting because when you talk about a charity where you don't expect any pay, you know what you're getting yourself into, but then you have those people that do want to be helpful, but they also want to make a living doing it, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I don't want to indicate that people are like, I just have the right heart. I care about people.
Yeah.
You know, it comes up all the time about salaries and negotiation and I get that. I understand that, you know, people have families to provide for, they have futures. I don't resent that one bit. And I will tell you, so I hired somebody that I had worked with previously, and I went to them and said, hey, I've got a high demand and I need you to, would you consider coming to work for me? And she said, yes, but you know, and then she gave me a demand on her pay, which was high, but I thought, I know what she's worth. I know what I need, and I know what she's worth. So she stretched me on that a little bit. But she also said things like, look, my husband picks up the kids after school, but I absolutely have to get them there. So the earliest I can come to work, because we start the food bank day early.
Yeah.
And she said, this is the earliest I can get there. And so I had a decision to make, you know, how valuable is she to what I want to do? And am I willing to compromise that? Well, in her case, I was, because I thought there's the win is too big. If I can actually get her here, she's going to be well worth beyond what her salary is. And so I was able to meet her demands simply because I knew that I really needed her. Now, would I have done that with somebody coming in that I did not know their history? No, not necessarily. And that's where sometimes, you know, you get into negotiations about what everybody's needs are and what everybody wants. But when you know you're good, that's where the employee has a lot of leverage.
Michael Coleman here on Mission Minded, keeping your mind, your mission on your mind. Of course, you can hear the show every Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Great way to start your day. Listen to classic rock and roll tucked in between all 13 of our shows here. And anywhere you get your podcast, to check it out, Tony Curry Radio Podcast. We're on every major indice, all of our music shows on Spotify. And you can also email us, info@tonycurryradio.net, info@tonycurryradio.net. I want to blast it back because you and I are kind of the same age. I know that you have a great work ethic. I do too. My dad threw newspapers for 37 years. It was always first in, last out. We were talking about the quiet quitting last week. And this whole idea that people aren't going to give you any more than what they're getting paid for really kind of rubs me the wrong way, because I've always been told that if you want to get ahead, you've got to do more. You've got to do more. And I realize that every situation is different, whether it's your first job or whether it's your 20th job. Maybe you're not in the field of work you want to get into or retire in. I get all that stuff. But I mean, yeah. We, with it being Labor Day and the show being recorded on Labor Day, you know, we used to work 6 days a week, 12 to 14 hours a day. I certainly think the labor movement changed a lot of those things, and I think it was good. It made our working conditions much safer. It gave us 2-day weekends, and with Labor Day, a 3-day weekend. We were working 9 to 5, 8 to 5, 9-hour days, working 40-hour weeks. But this recent movement of not being able to find the right people working one job for one day and then splitting and going across the street to make an extra 50 cents an hour. I'm not saying everyone's doing that, and I'm not even going to blame the millennials for it, but do you, Michael Coleman, not the CEO of Montgomery Food, but Michael Coleman, the man, do you like the direction we're moving in? I mean, we got pet stipends now. There are some businesses, because roughly 23% of Americans got an animal, a pet, over COVID because they were home all the time. We now have some businesses having to offer pet stipends for their pets insurance. Yeah. It's gotten kind of crazy. I part of me at the age of 56, and I own my own business, part of me is jealous that I'm not a 22-year-old right now going out into the workforce, because I know there is a plethora of wonderful jobs out there that they will throw anything at you to get you to come on board. What's your thoughts where you are in your life?
I tell you, I have such mixed emotions, because for the longest time, I have really, no matter what the issue is, I really do try to take the time to see it from both sides so I can better understand the issue and approach it from as unemotional place as I possibly can. And I have been the one seeking the job, and I've been, you know, so I've been on that end of the negotiating table. And then I've been on the other side, which is I'm bringing somebody on and I know what I can afford to pay. And so, like we talked about with the quiet quitting, you know, so much of that has come about has been the fault of employers who abuse employees. And so how I tend to kind of go into it is establishing the right culture. So, like, for instance, if somebody, like, I have people, some that still have children at home, some are grandparents, and some are still having their kids who've divorced and come home and live, and they have grandparents come back. And when they pop up at unexpected times and go, hey, my grandkids need me to come get them, I want to never be in a situation to where I say, no, you got to stay and finish X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Because I never, the culture is, I want people to understand that they personally matter. And so what I have found is when you communicate that and you live that out. Now, of course, that means sometimes you would rather them be at work, but you have to allow them the freedom to go do what they need to do. And so it's inconvenient at times, but when you care about people, and that's the culture you're trying to reinforce, what I have found is you don't get the quiet quitters. You don't get the, I would say at least as much, and you don't get the people complaining and griping. As a matter of fact, I've recently put it out to my directors on out that, hey, one of the key things that I saw was, you know, we needed to increase salaries. And so I feel like I have a very gracious board who allowed me to do that. And we upped salaries. And so I feel like the pay is very competitive. And my response is, I have with that comes a high expectation. I will tell you where so many businesses get into trouble. So let's say you hire, most businesses have this practice. Hey, when you come in, you're going to be either on a 90 or 180 day probationary period. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And of course, Alabama is a right to work state. In theory, you can fire somebody because you don't like the color of their shoes.
Yeah.
But so many people are have difficulty sitting down and having honest conversations with employees. And so most of us know within the first 90 days or so as to whether this person's going to be a good fit or not. But it's so rare that I've gone to a director, and I'm not talking about here, I'm just talking about in my career, that I've gone to somebody and they've actually done a written 90-day evaluation, and it was talking about, hey, here's the things I'm seeing that are really good. Here's some things that I'm very concerned about, and that they made a tough call. But there's endless amounts of people that have said, hey, they've been here a year, they've been here 2 years, they've never really worked out, they've never been a good fit, and yet there's no development, there's no tough conversations, there's no documentation on that. And so I don't feel too sorry for employers. In the sense of you bring somebody in, you feel like, you say, well, I'm taking a real risk because I may be paying more or maybe giving these benefits or these conditions. I have a high expectation. Employers, and I'm talking about CEOs and just the culture they build when it's disconnected from employees and you're all about, no, you will be here, you will do this. You shouldn't expect them to develop loyalty towards you or towards the business. And I wouldn't feel loyalty towards them or towards the business, but if you take the time to let them know what their place is, why that place, their place is valuable, how you recognize, some of the things that they're doing and why that makes them, how it benefits the organization as a whole, then you will get, you'll get people to step up in ways that you could never imagine. Let me give you just one quick example that mm-hmm. happened to me. This past week, or actually it was about 10 days ago, I was talking with a lady who works for us, who is right across the hall from me. And she's very loud, leaves her door open, and she's very loud, sometimes even distracting. But I noticed that when she talks to our agencies who call in, and these are our food pantries and people trying to serve, she is remarkably patient and kind and understanding, and she just epitomizes what I'm looking for in somebody who works with agencies. And so one day I just had an occasion to be in her office, and I said, Yumeeka, it's really – I just want to take the time to say I've really heard you talking, and just it's phenomenal and it's amazing what you've done and what you're doing. And boy, it just really speaks to me how valuable it is that you conduct yourself that way. And you could really tell how much she appreciated, because I don't think a lot of people have taken the time to either notice or to point it out. But the reason I bring that up is this weekend we went into a 3-day weekend, and we had a document, a spreadsheet that was messed up, that we're trying to get our new website up. And we needed an updated agency list. And she came in an hour before she was to get off on Friday. and saw all that paperwork and all that mess. And she said, "How can I help?"
Wow.
And I said, "Oh, I don't know that you can. I don't know what to do," because the person who was in charge of it had to leave. And she said, "I tell you what," she took all of it. She said, "I'll take it home this weekend and I'll work on it." And I got an email already today on Monday before we even go back to work that it's been updated, completed, and passed on. So there's no telling how many hours she worked on her own to get this done. But it's not because I made the complimentary comment, but when somebody feels valued and somebody is understands their place, and you just take a few minutes to recognize that, then you're squeezing so much more productivity at them because they're taking ownership in the mission. And so, you know, there's so much out there to teach people how to do it. But employers who don't take a little bit of time out of their day to recognize the good employees and just shake their hand, pat them on the back, tell them how much you appreciate it, shouldn't be surprised when an employee leaves because somebody across the street is going to give them an extra $1,000 and maybe a little bit better work environment.
Michael Coleman joins us here every Monday through Friday right around 10 o'clock. That's Central Time here on TKR. Download the TKR app like tens of thousands of folks have already done. And, of course, listen to us wherever you get the Tony Curry Radio podcast, anywhere. We're on Audio Boom, iTunes, you name it, iHeart. We're all over the place. Spotify, you can chat all of our podcasts and listen to previous shows. It's a fantastic show. And, of course, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. You know, you bring up something really interesting, and I love doing the show because we kind of had an idea. We just kind of want to talk about business in general and employees, and we've got UPS perhaps going on strike. You get Starbucks doing their own unions. You got the CFO or the CEO of Bed Bath & Beyond jumping from an 18th floor because of a pump and dump. It's been a weird business week. But you bring up a really interesting point, and I mentioned this on my show the other day. The service industry is really lacking right now, and I realize that you know, normally, you know, I got my first job at KFC when I was 15. I was super blessed to have that job. I was making $3.25 an hour. I remember getting my first raise to $3.40, and I thought, oh my gosh, I was doing the math in my head. I could not believe I was getting a 15 cent an hour raise. That was 1992. I mean, I get that. But I mean, it was just, and I was so blessed. I mean, you know, and you didn't have people that had more than one job. You couldn't get more than one job. You know, if you had three jobs, you were like, you were the man. You're like, wow, how'd you get three jobs? Yeah. I mean, that was amazing. And the one thing I keep going back to, and I don't know if this is something that's pre-genetically engineered or something that's taught in the family, but I was always taught to make good eye contact, shake firmly with my hands, and have a good attitude because that's what I can control. I mentioned the other day, you know, right now you go into a restaurant, they don't even give you the opportunity to give you 15%. It starts at 20%. And I get that because, I mean, it's a tough time right now. And I'm more than willing. Sometimes an extra $2 on your bill can amount to anywhere. It could change it from 20 to 28%. I don't know if kids are actually doing the math in their brains, but sometimes if you got a $14 meal, throwing an extra dollar down looks like a big deal. And in most cases, I'm just like, you know, if you come in and just ask me how my day is or what can I get for you, it doesn't even matter if you bring my food in a timely manner. But if you're friendly with me and you make eye contact with me, how y'all doing? If you had a good day and you can't get that anymore. And I guess you could see that I'm a business owner as well. So that's one thing that you and I kind of have in common. You're running a business with employees, and I certainly don't have nearly as many employees as you do. But I've learned a couple things in that. You know, I tell my people that work with me, I have three people that work, you know, your attitude means the world to me. And listen, life is tough. My life has been tough the last 3 or 4 years. A lot of it is self-inflicted. We create a lot of our own problems. There are no coincidences. You make and break your own coincidences in life. But I tell them, listen, you know, your attitude means the world to me. I know it's 6 o'clock in the morning, or I know you have to get over here 3 days a week. But if you have a good attitude, it really paints life well. And I try to have a good attitude. I try not to bring my personal life into my work. And I think that's a really important thing. And I think that all starts from the top. Because if they see a boss that doesn't have a good attitude, maybe you're one of those rant and ravers, one of those people that just likes to go to the whip when the numbers aren't there. That doesn't paint you in a good light. The other thing I'll mention, and I think you brought this up too, is, you know, fool me once, fool me twice. I will give any employee that I believe in, if I'm going to hire them, if I'm bringing them into my workplace, I've made a commitment there to them. I'm going to give them every chance to prove me wrong if, in fact, they start doing things that don't seem right. And if they get me twice, then I'm going to go, hey, listen, fool me once, fool me twice. We have an issue here. But for the most part, yeah, sick kids, husbands get cancer. I mean, life goes on, and you certainly, and you were mentioning this employee that needed to take her kids to school, and I hope you did hire her. I hope it works out for you. But just talk about attitude just a little bit to take us home in this particular thing, because, and I don't know if that's something that's taught. I don't know where that comes from. I got it from my father and my mother, thank God. But it just seems like the younger generation, and I don't want to broad brush here, but it seems like the younger generation just doesn't understand the whole attitude portion.
Yeah. And it's really hard, but so these were skills that you and I were taught in the home, which for the most part is not really as taught certainly as much. It's not, we're not brought up with these expectations. Kids brought up in the home have a lot more flexibility. You see it in the school, my wife's a school teacher. My daughter's a school teacher of young children. And, you know, my daughter, who's a public school teacher, said, you know, they can't even put them in timeout. She's got 28 kids with no assistant, second graders, and she is not even allowed to put them in timeout. She has to do positive reinforcement correction. And I said, well, what is that? And so she has to say, if somebody is out of their seat and twirling around and making noise, she can't go over there and say, get in your seat. Are you going to stand in the corner? Or like in my day, I'm going to take you outside with a paddle and wear your tail out. Somebody's doing that. She has to go over and say, if it's Jimmy doing it, hey, little Jimmy, look at Tommy. Tommy's sitting in his seat. I'm really proud of Tommy. And the second grader is supposed to be able to connect those dots.
They didn't do that on your school bus, did they?
Yeah, I want her to be proud of me, so I'm going to sit down too. So it's culturally speaking, and how we raise kids, and just that whole dynamic is, I think, a lost art. But I will tell you, so two quick things as we wind up. One is, I just got through communicating with a past organization, two people who were just phenomenal, but they were due a raise. And anyway, it came down to squabbling over between $1,000 and $2,000.
Yeah.
Well, that organization lost both those people. And so sometimes I'm like, never lose a good employee over $1,000.
Yeah.
What a mistake that is, because what you don't realize is how much time and effort it takes, and the risk of hiring somebody new and bringing them in to even get them to the standard of what you just lost. And so there's all these costs associated with hunting for people and job searching and lost productivity and training time. And it's just such a big gamble that you'll ever get somebody who's as good as who just left. But they felt that, hey, you're gonna squeeze me for $1,000 or $1,500. You know, you're not loyal. As good as an employee as I am, as much as I care about this job, you're not gonna recognize me, or you're gonna try to squeeze me for that little bit. Well, you know, why should they expect any loyalty? And I 100% understand that and agree with that. It works both ways. But when you were talking about, you said something that really hit home with me, which is it has to start from the top. And the reason I try to communicate why culture is such a big deal, we've talked about it especially early on in our shows, but it seems like every show just about I could bring it up, because culture drives so much of your decision-making, not just who you hire, but what positions and how you're going to run your organization. So I'll give you an example. Let's say that I have a business that I just want bottom line. I just want more money. So I'm going to try to squeeze employees for every bit I can. Well, even when I pay them well, I'm going to do everything I can to just squeeze every ounce of juice that they have, because all I'm looking at is what is going to get me more money. And so you will make decisions, you will do processes that seem cold and indifferent. And we know several businesses like that their clients sometimes, whether it could be the pharmaceutical industry or other industries, that it just appears though as though they're indifferent to the suffering of those that ideally are their clients. But if you build it to where I say, well, my number one thing is client care, whether I'm, I was at the Jimmy Hill Mission in addiction recovery, talking about homeless addicts, or I've been in Hope Spire Ministries with workforce development, or in food bank where we're talking about people who face food insecurity every day. That's what drives me, those people. And so give me people, my decision to hire people is people who care about that problem and who are motivated, self-motivated, and are driven by this heart, this emotion. And not that we make emotional decisions, because everything has to be a business decision ultimately, but it's a business decision that at the heart of it is one that projects a warmth and a caring about those that we're serving and not an indifference. And that has to not only be for your clients, but for your employees. So when an employee comes to me and says, Michael, it's 2 o'clock, I need to go. It doesn't matter what they say they need. I say, go take care of it, because if it's on your mind, mm-hmm. I'm going to damage our relationship if I insist that you stay here. And so I tell them, hey, your work's going to be there tomorrow when you get back.
There you go.
And it will be. Or whenever you come back. So you go take care of what you need to take care of. And what I'm projecting to them is they mean more to me than the bottom line. They mean more to me than the business model and what's going on in their life. Is their concerns are my concerns. And so that gives me leverage with most people, not all people, but that gives me leverage to come back and say, hey, you know, I hate to do this, but we just got to get that. We got to stay and get this done tonight. Rarely do I ever get complaints or gripes, or because they're like, hey, he took care of me, I'm going to take care of him.
There you go. He is Michael Coleman, Mission Minded. Great show, Michael. Again, we love to do emails too. We didn't get any to this week, but we'll do some next week. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. About non-for-profits, business, employment, whatever. Michael's done it all, and we appreciate him doing it all right here on TKR and Tony Curry Radio, 10 o'clock Monday through Friday. Michael, thank you so much. I appreciate you. Have a great week.
Hey, enjoy it as always, brother.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.